Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the In the Truck podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dennis Brown. Is there anything in the world worse than stale Swedish fish? Buying Swedish fish at the gas station is really a roll of the dice. It's really a gutsy candy choice. Sometimes they're fine, but sometimes, man, wow. Oh well, what are you going to do? We all make those tough decisions. So I have this thing I talk about on a fairly regular basis when it comes to bribery, and especially bring it up when business people complain about bribery in the third world. So if you try to do business in the third world, a lot of times you have to pay bribes to a lot of people, varying sizes and degrees. You have no choice. There's nothing you can really do about it. And nobody likes it. So I formulated this theory by watching politicians over a long period of time, and I realized that everyone's getting paid a bribe everywhere. But in the third world, you have to pay a bribe in advance. And in the first world, the only difference between the first world politicians and third world politicians is in the third world, politicians accept their bribes later. There's delayed gratification of bribing. So I'm bringing it up because it doesn't happen very often where you get to see it, what it looks like, but it's hard. You have to really pay attention to what these guys do over a really long period of time, and then to try to explain it, you have to explain, you know, decades of small actions. So the third world model is pretty simple. So let's say you want to drill for oil in Kazakhstan and you need to go pay big bribes to big politicians, and then you have to pay somebody at the airport to bring your equipment, and you have to pay a bribe to the head of the transportation bureau to let the truck go, and then you got to pay a bribe to the local cop to let the truck go through that town, and then you got to pay, right? The tribal chiefs want to get paid, and if you don't pay anybody, if you refuse, if you don't want to play the game, any one of those people can shut you down and no one will help you. So if you decide you're going to pay the politicians to get the contract to drill, and then you're going to pay the airport guy to get the plane unloaded, but you don't want to pay the Department of Transportation guy to get the truck down the road, he'll just shut you down. And then when you go back to the first two guys and say, you know, hey, I gave you that money, and the truck guy won't let me get my trucks down the road, and they'll just be like, I don't know. You should talk to him. So that's how that works. So if you want to build a factory in China, India, you want to drill for oil in Kazakhstan, you want to open up a cell phone company in Nairobi, whatever it is, you're going to pay through the nose. My brother, at one time, was a business manager of the Cambodia Daily newspaper. Interestingly, right after he arrived to take over that position, the country broke out in civil war, which is another funny story nobody talks about. And he was there through that, so that they pulled it together, and they actually went. It was a big mess, and there was a war going on in the city, and they were delivering the paper. It was the only English-speaking newspaper in Cambodia. The printing press. I don't remember what happened to the press. Whether there was no electricity there, or whatever the case may be, they'd have photocopy. They made the paper, and then they photocopied copies, and they delivered them to the embassies of all the different countries. Pretty cool. He got shot at by snipers. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Kind of like Hillary Clinton did, except that my brother actually got shot at by snipers. So in Cambodia, this is a tangent I didn't expect to go on today. But in Cambodia, when the Vietnamese pushed the Viet Cong up into northwestern Cambodia, there was a problem because there was sort of like the business people who wanted to have like a Western-style elected representative government, and there was also a prince who'd been deposed previously, or his father, I think, was deposed previously, so he wanted to come back. So they're having this big fight about who was going to take control of the country, the prince or the guy they elected, and the United Nations stepped in to fix it, and they decided what they would do is that they would have two presidents. And one would be the elected guy, and one would be the prince. And then they would each get their own army. because they couldn't agree about which one was going to control the army. So the UN decided that each one would get their own army, and that would be great. And wouldn't you know it, they went to war with each other. Shocking. So who could see that coming? But my brother worked for this paper, and he used to get pulled over all the time, and he had to pay bribes to the police because he was not Cambodian. And I think they assume probably correctly that if you're not Cambodian, you have extra money, and they don't. So they're going to take yours. But I don't think they wanted a lot. Just a little bit of money, $5. That was like a week's pay for them. I don't even know if the police get paid over there. I think maybe they just, it's like selling a commission-only job, you know? You get paid whatever you can make people give you. So that's how the third world works, man. You know, if you got pulled over in Kansas and the state trooper said, give me $100 or I'll throw you in jail, and you recorded it and went to his boss and said, this is what the guy did, he'd get fired. You'd probably get a settlement for being harassed, whatever. In the third world, if you took that to his boss and was like, hey, the guy said he's going to arrest me if I don't give him $100, his boss would be like, all right, well, you're going to have to give me $500 plus him his $100, or we're both going to throw you in jail. Just how it works. You got to do it. So, and then you think, well, in our country, it's not like that, right? Well, in part, it is like that, because in order to get anything done in America or in Europe, you have to get a license or get permission, and that costs money. So you're paying somebody somewhere, right? There's a bunch of bureaucrats whose jobs are dependent upon people who would like to apply for licenses. So that's one thing, just like a bribe. But then there's the other thing. So the politicians don't get in on any of that money. And politicians love bribes. And there's a lot of focus on the campaign part of it, the campaign money. Oh, campaign money, campaign. No, that's not the good part. The good part is at the end of their career. What they do is they retire from Congress and they get a job with a company, a law firm or a lobbying firm or some other kind of business. And they get paid a lot of money to do very, very little work. Now, part of that is because they previously did work for the company, right? So, you know, so-and-so from Dow Chemicals, like, hey, I need this bill passed, and a couple congressmen come to the table, and then when they retire or they lose an election, they call that guy up and like, hey, I hooked you up, you know. Get me one of them show up on Tuesday, play golf on Friday jobs, and they get it, and they get paid $1 million. That's the payoff of the bribe. Like, you took care of them, they're going to take care of you back. The other part of why they get paid a lot of money is because they have friends in Washington. So now the next time you need to get something done in Washington, you got their buddy, their old pal, calling them up, being like, hey, here's the deal. It's hard to prove that, right? So that's why it's not necessarily legal. No one goes to jail, because it's hard to prove that, hey, 10 years ago, your vote on this law is directly related to why this company hired you and pays you a salary, when, you know, it's obviously not written on paper. It's all just promises. So this week, today I think, Paul Ryan announced that he was not running for re-election. I don't know the reason he gave. Usually they say it's because they'd like to spend more time with their families. Which normal people hear that and they go, oh, that makes sense. I like to spend time with my family. But these aren't normal people. So you don't get to be Speaker of the House of Representatives by being just a regular nice guy who likes to spend time with your family. If you're the Speaker of the House of Representatives, you've been obsessed your whole life. You got to get through local party politics. You've got to get through state-level party politics. You've got to get elected to Congress, and you got to weasel your way through all these other congressmen. You got to do favors and make backroom deals. It is a grind. And if you're Paul Ryan, what is he, 45 years old, maybe? Something like that. He's not running for re-election because he wants to spend time with his family? I don't think so. Nope. If you're driven enough to get there, you are not a sit-around-hang-out-with-your-kids kind of guy. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I just think it's funny because one of them, somewhere along the way, said that. And then they all do it because they go, oh, that sounded good. I'm trying that one. I'm going to do that. So one of two things is true. Either
somebody's got dirt on them and they're going to dump it. Oh, one of three things. Or possibly he thinks he's in jeopardy of losing the election and doesn't want to do that. Or the third thing is that somebody, he called in a favor with one of the people who he's hooked up over the years in American business, and they offered him a big, fat job for the rest of his life, making $1 million. Because what does a congressman make? Like, I think Speaker of the House makes about 200 grand, maybe less. They get a budget, though. They get, like, an office budget, something like around 200 grand. So watch what happens over the next couple months. That may be the next year, right? You may not rush into it. He may just be retired for a year and then do it. And you think I'm kidding, all right? But here's why it's interesting this week. John Boehner, remember that guy? He used to be Speaker of the House, cried all the time. Super tough on drugs. He was one of the Just Say No crowd. Was just named a member of the board of directors of some marijuana cooperative company industry thing. And he was asked about it. He said his position on marijuana has evolved. Now, what that means is, is that he's going to get paid a lot of money. Now, Boehner didn't do anything for the marijuana industry yet. So it's not a bribe per se. It's not a quid pro quo. But what's going to happen now is Boehner was a Speaker of the House, so he knows everybody in Washington. He knows all their assistants. He knows their assistants' wives. He knows the congressmen's wives. He knows staffers and staffers' families. He knows everybody. He was the big kahuna. And he's going to start reeling those guys in and pulling favors. That's what's going to happen. That's what they're paying for. They're paying for access. So you can't, while you're in office, you can't take that money and you can't take that job. But when you're out of office, so that's what they all have coming. And that's how bribery works in the first world. You collect your bribes at the end. You cash out. Now, there are some actual crooked politicians that don't follow that rule. But the ones that don't go to jail and don't go on trial, go ahead and wait to the end. All right, so we got to talk about Trump and his tone. Since the beginning, people have said, since he won the election, people have said that he needs to change his tone, that he is unpresidential, and the things he says are uncouth, unsophisticated, and problematic. My favorite word. So I said, I heard that somebody in Europe was saying they thought Trump was crazy, and I said, good. And this is back like a year ago, and somebody was like, why is that good? And I'm like, well, yeah, because if the rest of the world thinks your leader is insane, they get real polite. Right? And so if you have a president who is the commander, in our case, is commander-in-chief, has his finger on the nuclear button, and you think that he's a calm, reasonable guy, who's very thoughtful and slow to act and got a lot of leeway to play around. But if you think the guy who has his finger on that button is a psycho, dying for a reason to use it, you'd be real careful around that guy. So the first thing that happened was Trump went after Kim Jong-un in North Korea. And everyone criticized him, and he was going to cause a nuclear war, and there was actually warnings, and somebody in Hawaii hit the wrong button, and they had a nuclear war drill, and all this stuff. And Trump was blamed, and his tone. Trump's tone was to blame. Kim Jong-un was going to go to nuclear war. And then Kim Jong-un came out and said that he was ready to talk with the U.S., and he was willing to talk about disarming. Oh, really? That's interesting. Nobody gave Trump any credit for that. So you had Clinton dealt with this regime. The second Bush dealt with this regime. Obama dealt with this regime. Nobody could figure out what to do. Clinton tried to give him $1 billion. That didn't work. I think Obama gave him a bunch of money too, but I could be wrong. Maybe it was Bush. Doesn't matter. It's all one big bad presidency as far as I'm concerned.
So, yeah. 24 years of... ugh. I'm not a big Bush Senior fan either, by the way. But anyway, I digress. So that happened, and nobody wanted to give Trump any credit for that, although they were all ready to blame him if the nuclear war started. Then he starts talking tariffs, and the right went nuts. The free trade right. I did a whole podcast about tariffs. But Trump starts talking about tariffs, and he's going to start slapping tariffs on stuff. And there was all these warnings from inside the country, mostly from the right. Oh, don't do that. Can't have tariffs. They'll start a trade war. Other countries will get mad. China will be mad. And then they'll put tariffs on our stuff. And tariff. And we'll just pay more money. And it doesn't help anybody. And blah, blah, blah. Well, lo and behold, the Chinese premier today said that he is going to take drastic measures to cut the tariffs on imported automobiles. And something else. But that was the big one, right? So how'd that work? Again, it's a tough talk, man. They think he's crazy, and they think he'll do it. They don't think... the rest of the world doesn't think Trump's kidding. They're taking him very seriously. They're taking him very seriously because he's a little unpredictable and untraditional. His style is non-traditional. So, yeah, they're terrified. So China's like, all right, we'll fix it. We'll charge a slower tariff. So now you can sell American cars in China. Huh. So for all you people who are like, oh, he should be more presidential. No, he should not be more presidential. Being crazy Trump is what got us the results. Got us talk to North Korea. Got us Chinese lowering their tariffs. Right? So if you can make a threat, like we're going to slap tariffs on Chinese stuff and scare China into lowering their tariffs, that's a big win. But no one's giving Trump any credit for that either. But I'm here to tell you, he deserves all the credit for that. And I think when you see China do it, other countries are going to do it too. So he may succeed in getting American manufacturing to improve by lowering tariffs on other countries without ever putting a tariff on anything. And that's the thing with Trump. Like, people get so upset. When he says he's going to build a wall 30 feet high and Mexico's going to pay for it, everyone's like, oh, yeah, right. That's not going to happen. Shut up. It's a negotiation. He started the negotiation by saying, I'm going to make the wall 20 feet high and Mexico's going to pay for it. And Mexico said, we're not paying for it. And then he said, we're going to make it 30 feet high and you're going to pay for that. He's trying to drag them into a debate, a discussion, a negotiation over the wall and who's going to pay for it and where it's going to go. Because quite frankly, if you get the wall and Mexico pays a dollar, that's pretty good. Although we've talked before about how you can get them to pay for the whole thing. Just put service charges on Western Union transfers from the United States to Mexico. That'll fix it. What do you think? $5 a transfer? $10 a transfer? I keep yawning. I hope you can't hear that. That's so obnoxious. What a jerk. Sorry about that. Alright, but I didn't really actually come to talk to you about any of that stuff today. I want to talk about the situation in Syria, and I don't have a whole lot of information. I have some speculation, and I have some media reports that are based on other people's speculations. And Trump said something about he's going to shoot missiles at Syria, or I guess that just that they're coming, but Israel's already shooting missiles at Syria. Russia says they're going to shoot them down. I don't know. Listen, this is a mess we need to stay away from. I put out a tweet, actually responded to somebody else's tweet, but I didn't think that Assad had done a chemical weapons attack. And a conservative, a fairly influential or fairly largely followed conservative made a comment back to me, and I just responded that it didn't logically make sense. That every time the U.S. talked about withdrawing from Syria, that there was a chemical weapons attack, and then it was Assad because he doesn't want us there, and why would he do that? And I wasn't rude or snarky. I know. You think I probably was. I wasn't. I wasn't rude about it. I wasn't sarcastic about it. And I got blocked immediately. So that was fun. And then I tweeted out kind of an anti-war tweet, like, hey, let's not go to war in Syria. And I prefaced it by explaining how much I love the United States military personnel. and said that I think that it's better if we don't go to war in Syria. And I lost 10 followers in about 5 minutes. All that to say, I think there's some people who want to go to war. Which seems really strange to me. But you've got the situation now in Syria where somebody used chemical weapons and nobody's really sure who it was. Even Britain, our bestest friend, has refused to condemn Assad after this most recent attack that may or may not have been chemical weapons, and saying that there's actually not any evidence that A, it was chemical weapons, or B, that Assad had anything to do with it. Trump, not so much. He's jumped all over it. I liked him better when he didn't want to go to war in Syria or shoot missiles at people for no reason. I liked him better when we were beating ISIS. That's good. I like to beat ISIS. So Syria has friends. It's a little tiny country, but they have big friends. Their big friends are Russia and Iran. Now, when we put the sanctions on Russia after the Crimean thing, just to refresh your memory, amongst the many things that they did in response, one of them was they started trading with Iran goods for oil. You can't sell oil if you're under sanctions because all the oil is bought and sold in the world with U.S. dollars, and then U.S. can stop you from selling your oil if you have oil. So that means you got to sell your oil on the black market, which you get crappy value for. But the Russians were willing to do is trade them stuff, tanks, food, etc., for oil, and then they would sell the oil. So they're already kind of friendly. And then now they're both friends with Syria. And then Syria, the people opposed to Assad is pretty much the rest of the world. Israel, Saudi Arabia, the United States. So there was some speculation at one time that Saudi Arabia and Israel and the U.S. were propping up ISIS to fight against Assad. And we know that we definitely were financing and arming and training other rebel groups to fight against Assad. Very unsuccessfully, I might add. I really think I want to go back. I hope I don't lose a bunch more followers because I love y'all very, very much. But I really think the way to go is to not go to war in Syria. I also still don't think Assad did the chemical weapons attack, if there was a chemical weapons attack. But even if he did do it, I don't think we should go to war or shoot missiles at him, because there's no alternative in Syria that's better for Syrians, for us, for Israel. I don't know what the point is. Other than it aggravates Iran, and everybody likes that. So Iran has already come out and said that Israel is going to pay for their attack on Syria. So that's fun. If you don't study history, you won't know that this is how World War I started. A bunch of big countries allied with each other, picking on each other through a little country. So, yeah, not good. I'm not feeling it. I don't really want to go to war. I don't like war. And the thing about chemical weapons is they're awful, but I don't know how it's better than what they were doing, firing mortars and rockets at towns until they turned to piles of rubble and killed tons of people. What is it about chemical weapons that we've decided that that's terrible? But blowing people to smithereens and collapsing houses on top of them is totally fine. Because when you hear that Assad may have used chemical weapons, like, oh, he's a monster. Well, we know for a fact his military destroyed Aleppo and killed tons of people, fired on caravans of people fleeing. Like, somehow, conventional weapons are fine and dandy. It's those pesky chemical weapons that's so bad. It's also really embarrassing for Obama. The left has ignored the fact, largely, that Obama and John Kerry, I think, came out and said that they had removed all chemical weapons from Syria, that the Syrian government had no more chemical weapons. They assured us they had the situation under control, and Assad had no chemical weapons capabilities, and we were all safe. They promised. So either Assad didn't do it because he doesn't have any, or Obama's a big fat liar. And he got taken by a Syrian dictator in a confidence scheme.
Let's bring the soldiers home. Listen, we'll bring the soldiers home where they want to be. And we'll have them on wall duty. And they'll build the wall. It'll take a few years. You can make the wall really nice. You're paying these guys anyway. You might as well get a wall out of it. So, yesterday, there was this resolution to inspect Syria in the UN, and Russia vetoed it. And now, right away, there are people saying, like, oh, Russia's terrible, and Syria's terrible, and what's the matter? Is Assad guilty? That's why they won't allow the inspection. Listen, this is the kind of thing that happens all the time. Countries on the Security Council veto things that are going to adversely affect their friends. So Assad is Russia's friend, and he doesn't want to be investigated by the UN for obvious reasons. So he said no. Russia made the vote for him to get him out of it. Now, how common is it? We just did it this week with Israel. The UN wanted to go in and do inspections of Gaza, and Israel said, I don't like that, and the United States vetoed it. So it's not a foreign idea or a foreign concept. It's something that happens all the time. All right, listen. I love you guys. But we're trying to get SnitFit back on tomorrow, which will be fun and exciting. Get his take on some of this stuff. But we're having a hard time figuring out a time. He wants to do it very early in the morning. I cannot get to the Wi-Fi that early. So we're trying to figure it out. Hopefully we get it worked out. So hopefully that's tomorrow. That was one of the big interviews or big guests. And then on Friday, I have a special surprise guest that I'm super excited about. Something totally different and fun. And looking forward to that. So thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Listen, I hope you all have a great day today. I hope you had a nice week where I wasn't around. I was on vacation. I was going to do a podcast yesterday about the vacation. I can't really do it. You'll see. I'll do it eventually. I'll tell the story of the vacation eventually, but too soon, man. Too soon. So listen, have a great day. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to see if we get SnitFit on the air or not. And then don't miss Friday's episode. I think it's going to be the best one ever. So listen, I appreciate you all tuning in. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.